Now we get into our sharing. They said it's on the lowliness of mind, Yahushua. So, foundational of Philippians 2:3, which we won't go to right now. We're going to go through it later, but in it's a good scripture for everybody to read or learn. In lowliness of mind, accounting one another superior to yourself. How simple is that? In lowliness of mind, accounting one another superior to yourself. Do I want to do that?
No.
No, I don't want to do that. I want to be exalted. And the secret to living is lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind and doing exactly opposite what you want. So we're going to see that. And it's the Greek word, which is very interesting. I'm going to spell it for you first. And that lowliness of mind, it's a compound word. TAPEINOPHROSUNE.
Okay. Happening?
Yeah, it's pronounced tapai nas roth u na. Tapai nas roth u na. And what it's a compound of tupinos, which is being brought low, and thane, which is P-H-R-E-N, or pronounced F-R-A-N-E, like thang, which is mind or understanding. So lowness of mind. It's used seven different times in the Greek New Testament. But very important of lowliness of mind, which we'll cover in that. Let's just look at Colossians 3:12 first. It will be hitting kind of summation is Philippians 2. The one he uses is Colossians 3:12. Okay. Let me go get my phone. And I'll read 3:12. Put on, therefore, as men chosen of Yahweh, holy and beloved, tender affections of compassion, graciousness, lowliness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. There's all components. The lowliness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, compassion, graciousness. It's just so contrary to what we want. Why I'm bringing my phone is to show people how to use the Blue Letter Bible. So I'm going to let this, here's how you hear the pronunciation. And this will be on audio for some people. But all you got to do is, get up here, is put the word G for Greek, and it's 5012. And it's right there. Now I'm going to let everybody listen to his pronunciation.
Strong's G 5012. Tapai na frasune. Tapai na frasune.
Tapai na frasune.
So, that's how you can find out, and then all its usage. So on our website, we got links to Blue Letter Bible. It's free. Not only can you look up all the usages when things are contrary to man's teaching, but you get to hear the pronunciation from somebody who obviously knows Hebrew and Greek. Turn that off. But we're going to go back to, remember the foundation of the New Covenant. It's not the New Testament. I've said it many times. It's not the Old Testament. The word test was not even in this book. Old Covenant, New Covenant, we might call it. Really, it's Hebrew and Greek. But everything must go back to the Hebrew. So what Hebrew word are they saying? You know, in the Septuagint. So here's a Hebrew word. And the Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And they will put this word in its place. So then I can say what the actual word Yahweh is actually using. many times, or a great amount of times, the Greek does not have a word for the Hebrew.
Right.
And so then I have to look, like Sheol, for example, and Greeks don't have Sheol, so the closest thing they have is Hades, which is completely wrong, but it's in our New Testament. So we must always look back, and if you go into the books called the Dictionary of the New Testament, a lot of times it will break you down and tell you where it was used in the Septuagint in the Old Covenant. And here are some examples. Psalms 138. And to see what the Hebrew words are there, and to see how it's being used, because a concept is it looks like it's going to be new in the New Covenant, is not new. Everything, we have 4,000 years of history of Old Covenant and Hebrew words. The only one I can think of that could be new that was not known was the sacred secret, because it was hidden away from ages and ages. And there are some new revelations that come about. I think in the book of Revelation, we've never heard of the 24 elders. We did know about the four cherubim. We did know about messengers. But who are these 24 elders? You know, and then all of a sudden the seven ruachs, or the seven spirits, or the seven torches. So in the last book says, God, there's another thing I had no idea that even existed. So that does happen. But in 138, verse 1, and then I'm going to go to 6. 1 gives us the context. I will give thee thanks with all my heart. Before the messengers of Elohim will I praise thee in song. 6. Though lofty is Yahweh, yet the lowly, there we go, right there. And it's a Hebrew word for sapal, and so, yeah, is 82:13.
Okay, what word
is the Hebrew word? Which for lowly, that's the Hebrew word. That the Septuagint is going to transfer these other words, and one is napanaho. There's three words. Napanaho is the verb. The first word is the adjective, and it's really a compound word of napanaho and mind or understanding. So we have the verb, and then you have the, and that's the adjective, and then you also have the noun, and the noun is napa nas ras one.
Okay.
So, but that's the noun. That's 5012. The verb is 5013, and then the adjective is 5012 in the strong numbering system. But we get to see here in 6. Though lofty is Yahweh, that's great, yet the lowly he regardeth. You want to be regarded by Yahweh? He's not going to make you, he can make you lowly. He made Manasseh lowly. And how he got made Manasseh, the king Manasseh lowly, is he had an intruder come in and take him away and put a ring in his nose and carry him off to Babylon. That made him lowly, put him in prison. So people can, Yahweh can, by withholding his hand, his protection, you suffer the consequences. But though lofty is Yahweh, yet the lowly he regardeth. But the haughty afar off does he, but the haughty afar off does he acknowledge. So he knows the haughty is when they're coming about.
This lowly word, is this is the Septuagint?
Yeah, that is, yeah. So it's a, sapal is the Hebrew word, but the Septuagint does the adjective. The adjective is napainos. Napainos. So it's like N-A, Sade, Pi, P-I-E, and then Nos, N-O-S. Now we go to 34, Psalms 34. And we also realize Yahweh is no respecter of persons. I don't care what position you have, what kind of wealth you have, what position the church has put you in. None of that impresses him whatsoever. He's going to look at your lowliness and your service to him.
In other words,
and the heart. I mean, it's a hard issue. So what we're going to see many times, the new earth, we're going to see such a reversal of who is running things. And there's going to be a lot. There's going to be outnumbered. The women are going to outnumber the men probably 2 or 3 to 1. Because women have more of an ability to serve and to submit themselves. Men can be very haughty and do just the opposite. And so, even though the women are lowly today in many cases, they're going to be exalted in the new earth, and the men will be serving them. Yahweh knows the heart.
First will
Don't
be
tell
last,
me what position. And you ran a $34 million, $900 million Christian ministry, and you had jets, and you had limousines and all these other things. Nah, it doesn't do anything. Actually, it might be opposite. It just might just be actually the opposite.
If you're exalting yourself.
So Psalms 34, 15 through 18, we're going to see the same concept in the words. The eyes of Yahweh are toward the righteous, and his ears towards their cry for help. The face of Yahweh is against such as do wickedness, to cut off from the earth their memory. They make outcry, and Yahweh heard. And out of all their straits has he rescued them. Near is Yahweh to the broken in heart, and that's the words, the broken in heart, and the crushed in spirit will he save. And so many times, the lowly or the low, it can be in a figurative sense and also in a physical sense. So the broken of heart doesn't obviously mean an actual broken heart, but it's somebody who is brought low in their minds.
What verse was that?
Psalms 34, 15 through 18. And, that was
18.
Sabar, the Hebrew word is 7665. And the other advantage is, with the Blue Letter Bible, you can actually go to their book and hit that verse, and it will show you the Hebrew words, and then you can do Septuagint, and then it will show you what the Greek book, how it changed the words. And that's how I know this. So that facilitates anybody else who's interested. So Blue Letter Bible facilitates that. Now we go to Isaiah 2, verse 11. One thing E.W. Bullinger said, I listened to a teaching the other night from a person who's been in the Word for 50 years. Very elementary things that were done 50 years ago. It seemed like there was no progression, and he was a major teacher of the Word. And one thing E.W. Bullinger knows, and I hope we can do this, he says, if you've gone to a service and did not learn something new, all right, then it was really a failure. And so we should always be pushing the margins of new information, new applications. You can't just stay back where you were and you read the Lord's Prayer every week and that's all you do. You're not learning anything. And so our objective is there's so much to learn and apply in our own lives. And it might be things that we already knew, but we're going to see it in a different light. But when it's not a different light, you didn't show me anything about the verses. It's just like, why was I even listening? It's like talking about the Lord's Prayer over and over and over again. Yeah, it's a great prayer, but let's go on. There's so many things, so people get stunted. But we look at Isaiah 2, 11 and 12, and this is about the day of Yahweh. The lofty looks of mean men shall be humbled. There you go. And that is Sapel, S-A-P-E-L, 82:13. But there's two verbs. I mean, there is an adjective and a verb in here that came from the same family, Napanaho. Let's start over. The lofty looks of men shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be what?
Great.
Bowed down. And that's where you're going to see the other word. One's an adjective and one's a verb. And Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. The day of Yahweh why we're not going to be in it, because we're not haughty. It really comes down to it. We're not haughty. And he can pull us out, but everybody else, the haughty are there, and what they're doing is they're defying Yahweh. And when the two witnesses are murdered in chapter 11, they celebrate and give gifts to each other. Mm-hmm. That is haughty. That is, and we would never do that. So somebody in the church could be a little bit high. They're not going to rejoice in that. So this is the power that's coming. And one thing, not part of the subject, we watched a movie that had Revelation 6, and that's the unleashing of the seven seals. And in our kingdom right now, in our way, these are always bad beasts hurting good people. That's not what it's about. It's just the opposite. It is bad people being chastised.
Like good beasts, they work for the Creator.
Yeah, they work for the Creator. They might be bad. I mean, there's some pretty wicked things in here. But the reason you're being afflicted is because of what you're doing against the Creator. You're defying the Creator. And you've defied him so much that this is why you're getting this. So the Revelation, the book of Revelation, is actually a very insightful thing that he is bringing retribution upon workers of iniquity, and it says just the opposite.
Yeah.
So you have nothing to fear, but this is that. But that you're saying the lowly. Now we go to Isaiah 66, chapter 66, 1 and 2. And this is beautiful. Thus saith Yahweh, the heavens are my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is the house which you can build me? Or where is my place of rest? For all these things hath my own hands made, and all these things came into being, declareth Yahweh. But as for this one, will I look around. For him who is humbled, that's it. And that is, I forget which one that is, and smitten in spirit, and so careth anxiously for my word. So just look at that. Are you that person? Are you that person? For those who are humbled and smitten in spirit, and so careth anxiously for my word. If I am humbled, my manifestation of being humbled is doing what Yahweh tells me to do, especially when I don't want to do it. Real simple. Yahweh says, don't talk back against your parents. Right? And when you're about ready to talk against your parents, or even when they're not there, I'm going to talk to somebody else against my parents or grandparents. You don't. You don't, and that means you humble yourself, because Yahweh says, don't do it, I'm not going to do it. Whether people are looking or people are not looking. So actions are always a manifestation of lowliness, lowliness of mind. And we all see that, you know. A good practice, and that's why we got to learn that, in lowliness of mind and counting one another superior to self. I can see a bum, a vagrant, getting handouts, who probably stinks, should have a job, you're no good for nothing. So in my mind, I'm looking at that because I have a job, you know, I support myself, but you still got to look at, wait a minute here, am I in a position where I can help serve that person if they need to be served? Yes. If my mind's not there, then I've got to grab it and say, you got to quit thinking this way. I've got to reverse that. And that's where the compassion comes. Now we go to false humility or false lowliness of mind. Isaiah 58. So this is religion. And religion, you know, like I said, we shouldn't even use the word religion. Religion means re-ligamate. A ligament. So we know what a ligament is, and to reattach is what the word religion means. So I don't know why we even come up with the word religion. It has no bearing on what we're talking about. And most people, when they say religion, they're meaning man-made something. So we can use it both ways. But when you have the people who are appearing to be pious and holy, but inwardly they're full of corrupt man bones.
Yeah, what?
Full of corrupt men bones. Remember seeing that? Whitewashed sepulchers. And we're going to see this in this particular case. And so because a person is bowing down on the ground in church when everybody's watching does not mean this person is lowliness in mind. He's doing it because he's going to get an advantage somehow. He's doing it intentionally, which we're going to see all the time. We can see the high priest who crucified, murdered Christ probably looked very humbled. They were serving, they have their garments, you have your phylactery on, this is your big prayer thing and everything else, but they are the enemies of Yahweh. Right there, and were they religious? Absolutely. Were they lowly in mind? Absolutely not. So we got to be careful for the false. And so we're going to read verse 1 first. Cry aloud, do not spare. Like a horn, lift high thy voice. And declare to my people their transgressions and to the house of Jacob their sins. This is the context. Now we go into 5. Let me see here. 3 through 7. When do you want to read 3 through 7?
Wherefore have we fasted that thou hast not seen? Humbled our soul, and thou wouldst take no note? Lo, in the day of your fast ye take pleasure, but all your toilers you drive on. Lo, for strife and contention ye fast, and to smite with the fist of lawlessness. Ye shall not fast as today, to cause to be heard on high your voice. Like this shall the fast be that I choose, a day for the Son of Earth to humble his soul? Is it to bow down as a rush his head and sackcloth and ashes to spread out? Is it this thou wilt call a fast or a day of acceptance with Yahweh? Is not this the fast that I must ever choose? To unbind the tight cords of lawlessness, to unloose the bands of the yoke and let the crushed go free, and that every yoke ye tear off? Is it not to break unto the hungry thy bread, and the thrust out oppressed that thou bring into a home, when thou seest one naked that thou cover him, and from thine own flesh shalt not hide thyself?
So that's where it comes into actions, no matter what actions. And one of the ways I was saying it, sometimes you become into a fellowship, you know, to serve Yahweh, and you see a car broken down, you say, well, I don't have time to help that person because I'm going to be late for fellowship, and you keep going on. Well, maybe that was my fellowship. You know, the person really needed my help, but I've got to please Yahweh and go to fellowship. Well, you might have really pleased me by stopping and helping this person. Oh, I didn't think about that. So we have to get that to think about. Colossians 3:18, we go back to the Greek words, but the same situation, a false humility, which is very apparent, as we'll see. Colossians 2:18. Let no one against you be arbitrating, however wishful, in respect of lowliness of mind, there's that word, and of a religious observation of the messengers, upon what things he has seen, taking his stand, in vain puffed up by his carnal mind. In verse 23, the things which indeed, though you have an appearance of wisdom, in self-devised religious observation and lowliness of mind, there you've got it, ill treatment of body, and are in no honorable way unto the satisfying of the flesh. So there is a contrary of the false, a lowliness of mind. And it's very difficult to see, because when you look at somebody, it appears they're doing the actions. But like one person said, you know, the best way to look at something is let them look at a person's checkbook. Not what they say, but who they're giving to and how much they are giving to in relationship, hiddenly. You know, there are people who give it out in the open, and they're getting the rewards. And that's where Christ would say, do it in a closet. All right? You don't blow your own horn. And so those are what you really get to see what happens. Now, a few examples is Hannah, 1 Samuel 2. And so here's a great woman. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 18. Not a prophet, you know, not a high priest, not a king, but this person really made an impact on Yahweh, and that's why it's written. So who wants to read 1 through 10?
Hello. 1 Samuel chapter 2.
1 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 10.
All right. Then prayed Hannah and said, "My heart hath leaped for joy in Yahweh. My horn is exalted in Yahweh. My mouth is opened wide o'er my foes, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy like Yahweh, nay, there is none except thee. Nor is there a rock like our Elohim. Do not multiply words so lofty, loftily, nor let arrogance proceed from your mouth. For a God of knowledge is Yahweh, and for himself are great doings made firm. The bow of the mighty is dismayed, while the fainting are girded with strength. The sated have for bread taken higher, but the famished have left off their toil, so that the barren hath given birth unto seven. While she that hath many sons anguisheth. Yahweh doth kill and make alive, taketh down to Sheol and bringeth up. Yahweh maketh poor and enricheth, layeth low, yea, exalted. Riseth from the dust the poor, from the dunghill uplifteth the needy, to give them dwelling with nobles and a throne of glory to make them inherit. For Yahweh belong the pillars of the earth, and he setteth thereon a habitable world. The feet of the loving ones he doth guard, but the lawless in darkness shall be silent, for by strength shall no man prevail. As for Yahweh, they shall be shattered who contend with him. Over him in the heavens will he thunder. Yahweh will judge the ends of the earth, that he may give strength to his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed one."
Mashiach. It's showing you a heart of, there's going to be a great reversal many times of the haughty are going to be brought low, and the low shall be brought up. So if you start getting haughty, just realize Yahweh does not delight in that. Now we go to another Hannah, which in the Greek they're going to call her Anna in Luke, but her name is actually Hannah, and Hannah means favor. Luke chapter 2. So here's a servant. You're looking at some of these people, and there's a lot of women who are in homes who are caregivers, who are wiping babies' butts and cleaning adult butts, you know, who are, and you know, there's a very humbling situations when you're doing that. So the world's not seeing, the world's not giving recognition, but Yahweh sees every bit of it. Because here's somebody in need and they're ministering in a capacity that's very undesirable. So 2, verse 36 to 38. He's in the right place. 2, 36 to 38. And this is Yahushua. This is great. Yahushua is brought into Jerusalem. And guess what? There's only two people that are going to get to know about him. And it's Simeon. Well, I guess it could be the person who was circumcising him. But it's Simeon and Hannah.
This is when he's born, 8 days old?
Yeah. So now think of that. Here's Jerusalem, the height of the religious world. It's not the two high priests. There's only supposed to be one. It's not the high priest. It's not the supposedly prophets. It's not the priest. It's not the Pharisees. It's not the Sadducees. Of all the people who are not there, but there's two people who have made themselves low. Somebody who has served Yahweh, and Hannah is a great one on that. 36. And there was one, Anna, which is in Hebrew is Hannah, a prophetess, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, the same advanced in many days, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she had been a widow for as long as 84 years, who left not the temple. So here's her service. Left not the temple with fasting and supplication, rendering divine service night and day. How did she do that? You got to render divine service by helping people, by doing what was needed in the temple. And in that very hour, coming near, she began to give thanks unto Yahweh and to speak concerning him unto all who was waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So she gets to see him. And another thing we have to think about that's not relevant. Who knew about Christ's birth? And we know Hannah did.
Shepherds.
And she told everybody in the temple. She was proclaiming it. So did
Simeon.
Simeon. So did the shepherds.
Right. And so the Magi.
So now wait a minute here. So we've got 29 years of this news being broadcast in Jerusalem. Even 2 years before the Magi came. But nobody came down go knocking on their door. Whether they disregarded it or whatever, but it was out there. So Christ was not, he did not appear out of the sky with no notice whatsoever when he was about 30 years of age. He had a long lineage of witnesses testifying, and the shepherds would have testified their whole lives.
John the Baptist knew who he was.
Yeah, John the Immerser, yeah. Immerser. And so you're looking at over and over. So why didn't people recognize him and know that the Messiah is here? And obviously his ministry would start generally when they're around 30 years old. He was not 30 when it started. That you should have been expecting it the whole time anyway in Jerusalem. But it appears that the majority of the people were not, even though it was witnessed. Now we go to Yahushua, which is our prime example of lowliness in mind. To say, okay, here's what he did. Now can I mimic that? And you know, I'm thinking of him on the cross, naked, which you're going to see, and being mocked. When any time he could have said, "That's it, I'm not going to go through with this," and get off the cross, and or smite the people. And so Isaiah 53, we'll begin there. And I thought, wow, I mean, what a goal to reach. I'm biting the tongue. Is that lowliness of mind? Yes, that's biting the tongue. 53:7-8. You want to read that, Aaron?
Hard pressed, yet he humbled himself, nor opened his mouth. As a lamb to the slaughter is led, and as sheep before her shearers is dumb, nor opened his mouth. But constraint and by the sentence was he taken away. And of his age was who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living. For my people's transgression did the stroke fall upon him.
So this is humility. This is it. Who humbled himself, hard-pressed, yet he humbled himself. He brought low himself. If somebody makes you go low, you're like, you know, but you can still do it. A boss or anything else, you're submitting it. But to voluntarily do it when you don't have to do it, you know, that's what we're looking for. Those are the points that count. Matthew 11. We're going to look at some of these words and examples of humility. Matthew 11:29 of Christ and what he's saying. The secret is being brought low. Lowliness in mind. 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because meek am I and lowly. There's the word tapinos in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul. Because meek and I am lowly in heart, for my yoke is easy, my burden light. Go to Matthew 18:4. The secret to life is to serve. Why is that? In lowliness of mind, accounting one another superior to yourself. Guess what? If I'm in a room Am I going to set the head of the table? And there's other guests? And you're like, no, because in loneliness of mind, accounting one another superior to myself. So you give your position to that person. And so you're always doing that wherever we go. Matthew 18:4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself, there we go, that's the verb, tapineo, as his child, the same is the what?
Greatest.
Greatest in the kingdom of the heavens. Man, are you going to be great on earth? No. All right? Because you're not exalted. Now, somebody, Yahweh could exalt you in this situation, but you got to keep your humility. But there it is, the secret right there. You want to be the greatest in the heavens? Be humble yourself in loneliness of mind as a child. Philippians 2, and here's our great example. Christ, what this verse is all about, Philippians 2. Remember to memorize that, 2:3. In lowliness of mind, accounting one another superior to yourself. And we go to 2 verse 1, and this is an example of Christ actually doing it. If there be therefore any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any tender affection and compassions, fill ye up my joy that the same thing ye esteem, the same love possessing, joined in soul, the one thing abstaining. Nothing by way of faction. Nothing by way of vainglory. So you try to keep things together. You try to keep in harmony. You're trying to do this. But in lowliness of mind, accounting one another superior to yourself, not to your own things severally looking, but to the things of others severally. Well, wait a minute here. I'm the most important part here. Wait a minute, how can I serve other people? You know, how can I do that, take care of their needs as my needs are also being taken care of? The same thing esteeming yourself, which also in Christ Yahushua, who in the form of Yahweh subsisting, here's our goal right here, not a thing to be seized, accounted to being equal with Yahweh, but himself, what? Emptied. Taking a servant's form. Well, no, I want to be served. I don't want to wash people's feet. I want to be served. Well, he washed people's feet. Coming to be in men's likeness and in fashion being found as a man, did what?
Humbled himself.
Becoming obedient as far as death. Not just death. I think most of us could get a sword through the heart. You know, whatever, okay. But to be tortured is a whole other thing. No, it's going to take you about, what was it, 9 hours or 6 hours? When he was on the cross, nine to three, and he was tortured before that, mm-hmm. So probably a whole 24 hours. And we're going to see. Humbled himself, becoming obedient as far as death, yea, death upon the cross, naked. Wherefore also Yahweh uplifted him far on high. Here's, if you will humble yourself, you will be exalted. And faith, is that faith walk? It'd be a good one for Aaron. Is that faith? Does that make sense? You know, I become a servant and I'm going to be exalted? No, it's just the opposite. So it is, well, if you say, you know, I'm going to make that investment in the new kingdom, in the coming new earth. Wherefore also Yahweh uplifted him far on high and favored him with a name which is above every name, in order that in the name of Yahushua every knee might bow, of beings in heaven and on earth and underground. So everything now is reversed. And every tongue might openly confess that Yahushua Mashiach is Lord unto the glory of Yahweh the Father. One other side note. Christ is Greek. It's not Hebrew. Christos. In the Septuagint, when Mashiach, which is Messiah, was there, the Septuagint translated Christos. So we really know the Hebrew is always Messiah. And so you really, it's you know, that Yahushua Mashiach is Lord. And Christ is all right, that's fine. But you just got to remember, it's a Greek word, not a Hebrew word. Unto the glory of Yahweh our Father. Now, we're going to look at a little example of that, Matthew 27.
I'm sorry, Matthew 27?
Yeah, Matthew 27. Verse 27. And when do you want to read 27 to 31?
Then the soldiers of the governor, taking Yahushua aside into the judgment hall, gathered unto him all the band, and unclothing him, a scarlet scarf put they about him, and plaiting a crown out of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and kneeling before him, began to mock him, saying, "Joy to thee, King of the Jews."
Now, let me ask, for, especially for men, being mocked when you could knock the crap out of somebody is not, you know, it is really... what do you say it? A control that we generally don't have. And mocking is one of the worst punishments that a male, I don't know about women, but a male, especially when you're innocent, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, and you're stronger than all of them, and you could do that, but you keep your mouth shut. Go ahead.
And spitting upon him, they took the reed and began striking upon his head. And when they had mocked him, they put off him the scarf and put on him his garments and led him away unto the crucifying. And as they were going forth...
Stop there. We'll go to 38 to 44. Melania, read 38 to 44.
Then are crucifying with him two robbers, one on the right hand and one on the left. And they who were passing by were reviling...
Now think of what's happening to this guy. And you're keeping your mouth shut. You're the innocent person. You're the one who's saving the world. And look at how you're treated. Talk about lowliness of mind. Keeping your mouth shut. Keep reading.
Shaking their heads and saying, "The man that taketh down the temple in 3 days buildeth it. Save thyself. Thou art Yahweh's son, come down from the cross." Likewise, the high priest also mocking with the scribes and elders were saying, "Others he saved, himself he cannot save. Israel's king he is. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe on him. He hath confidence upon Elohim."
Put confidence.
Confidence upon Yahweh. "Let him rescue him now if he desireth him. For he said, I am Yahweh's son." And same thing, the robbers also who were crucified with him were casting at his teeth.
Not only, it's the criminals right next to you. I mean, so this is how bad it is, and your mother's out there, all these women out there, you're naked, you're beat to a pulp, and you can't say a word, you can't get off the cross, even though you have the ability to get off the cross. You gotta have, I mean, legions of angels.
10,000.
Come down at any particular time, and he went through this. So we sum up as what is our job? 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. Now, let's just go there.
Young men, submit to your elders.
A good one to memorize.
All, however, one towards another.
That's right.
1 Peter 5, what?
1 Peter 5, verse 5 through 6. "In like manner, ye younger men, submit yourselves unto elders. All, however, one towards another, gird on humility." Humility is just so important. Because Yahweh, against the haughty, arrayeth him. This is what you, just memorize this one little part. "Yahweh against the haughty arrayeth himself, whereas unto the lowly he giveth favor." Look at that one sentence. Yahweh against the haughty arrayeth himself, whereas unto the lowly he giveth favor. You want favor? Make yourself lowly. "Be made lowly, therefore, under the strong hand of Yahweh." I love the word strong. If you don't humble yourself voluntarily,
you're going to be humbled.
You will be humbled. When you say the strong hands, this is like, one thing I told my kids is when they're coming teenagers, when they rebel, I will always win. So I am the strong hand. Even though if I can't physically outmaneuver you, I got the police department on my side. So guess what? I am a strong hand. You better submit. You better humble yourself. And it's nice that you don't have to threaten somebody, but if you have any idea that I'm not going to do this, let's read that again. Be made lowly, therefore, you be made lowly, otherwise you're going to be made lowly. Under the strong hand of Yahweh, why? So that he may lift you up in due time. Ah, thank you, Father. So we'll end right there. We'll have a prophecy for the people.
Like the next verse, all your anxiety cast upon him because he cares for you.
That's it, that right?
The whole thing. That's the whole thing.
He's got it. Keep it in line. Here, kids, here's your job. It's the opposite of what your body wants to do. Got it?
I want
to be king so bad right now. I want to be served. I want to be a rock and roll star where everybody wants me. I want to be a multi-millionaire where everybody wants me. And we find out that it's just the opposite. People killing themselves all the time. It's a lie. Life is in giving. Then you're going to get back, but the serving. And to see people's lives change because we actually did something. It's maybe save somebody's life by giving money at the right time. So, Father, we thank you for that opportunity and just memorizing that verse. In lowliness of mind, accounting one another superior to yourself. So that's our objective. So thank you, Father, for these words. Be bold. You are being called in positions of power and authority to uphold my word and my will, which my will can be communicated to you through my word and through a word of knowledge, word of wisdom. So rise up and do my will, and shucking aside all the hindrance that can hold you back, but walk forth readily receiving the information I give you in order that you may be well pleasing in my sight.
Hallelujah.
Amen. See you next week.